Romans chapter 1, and we're going to continue where we were last week. We're going to continue as we go through this passage in Romans chapter 1, and we're not going to finish it today. Last week we looked at the wrath of God as we're kind of working our way through this, and so let's begin it. We're going to go verse 18. Last week we looked at verse 18, so let's just kind of go over that one again, and we're going to go down to verse 23 today. And the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like an incorruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray You'd help us understand Your Word today, that You'd speak to our hearts. And dear God, we give You the praise and the glory and the honor for all things, for You are so good to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about the wrath of God, how God's wrath is real. And notice in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And there's two things the Bible lists there that it's revealed against: all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And we talked about how ungodliness is talking about all the things that are against God, all ungodliness. And unrighteousness is talking about all sin, all wickedness, all evil. How God's wrath is built up against those things. That God is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. And so all of mankind, all of humanity has a need. They need to be saved. They need to have their sins forgiven. They must come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. That is a dire need that all human beings have, because God's wrath is growing every day against people's sins and their wickedness. There is a judgment day coming for all people. All are going to stand before God one day and give an account of their lives. And God's wrath is revealed that He will judge people. So that being said, the quick question I have for you is, have you made things right with God? Have you settled it with the Lord? Have you made peace with the Lord? Are you prepared to die? Are you afraid of death? You know, one of the signs that you're not ready is that you greatly fear dying. You've not made peace with God. And the question is, have you made peace with God? You need to make peace with God. The Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And the peacemakers are not those that are friendly with everybody, but a peacemaker is the one that's made peace with God. Have you made peace with God? That's the big thing. Now, when we go to verse 19, God is now showing us there is an indictment against humanity. Now, this is the indictment against humanity, because look what it says in verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." So this is talking about what God has revealed, what God has shown unto them. And God is always revealing things. And look what God has revealed. And there's two ways that God reveals things to people. There's through general revelation and through special revelation. And so general revelation is how God reveals things to us through the creation. We can look at the creation and we can look at what God has made with His hands, what God has created, and we can understand by looking out there that there is a creator. That there's a designer, there is someone that has created all these things. And by looking at God's creation, God has revealed it to the whole world that there is a creator. And there's also special revelation. The special revelation is that God has given us His Word. That God speaks to us through His Word. That God has showed us how to be saved. You can't get saved by looking at the creation. By looking at the stars and the moon, you don't know how to get saved. But you know how to get saved by reading His Word. God reveals to us who He is through His Word. Now, by the way, heaven is not what we think it is. Heaven is what God says it is in His Word. Hell is not what we say it is. Hell is exactly what God said it is in His Word. Salvation is exactly what God said it is in His Word. We are saved exactly how God says we are saved in His Word. Not what anyone else thinks or how any other man says you get it. You're only saved by how God says you get saved in His Word. God is the author, and we do it how God says we do it. No other way. He's revealed it unto us. Now, in verse 19, the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them, for God has showed it unto them. So, God, people can look up in the sky, they can look up at the stars, and they can understand clearly that there is a God. So, in the creation, what the Bible is telling us, what God is showing us, is that God is always speaking to the world. He's always speaking to humanity. Our God is a speaking God. He's always talking. And the creation, He is always revealing who He is, that He is there. He's the Creator. Now, man may deny God, and man may say there is no God, and man may reason God away, but the Bible says that in verse 19, God has showed it unto them. God has made it clear that He is there. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, from the creation, from the very beginning, God has made this very clear. God's not made this hard to understand. He's not made it difficult for people to reason with this. He's not made it where you have to guess at it. He's made it very clear that He's created it, that there's a creator, that there's a designer. And notice that for the invisible things of Him, even though you can't see God, and none of us have seen God with our own eyes, God has made it very clear that He is there. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's invisible, you can't see Him, but He created all things, and He holds all things together. What holds this world together, all the universe together? God does. He holds everything together. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. He's there. You can't see Him, but He's there. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, talking about Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible, our God. He saw God, though he couldn't see Him with his eyes. He knew God was there. So the Bible is telling us that creation clearly shows us that there is a God. Psalm 33:6 says this, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth of the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens and the works of Thy hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and His vesture shall Thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but Thou art the same, and Thy years they fail not. In Revelation 4:11, we read this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 14:6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. So, you know, since the very beginning of creation, God has made it clear. And so when you go outside and you look at the trees and you look at the animals and you see the sunrise, and who has not seen the sunrise and seen the sunset and been taken with awe at the beauty of it? Have you not? And you cannot see that there's a God that has been behind all that. When you look at life, you think about this planet and where it's at. And if it was just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. If it was just a little bit further away, we'd all freeze. How it's in exactly the right place for life. And you don't find that anywhere else in the universe. And our sun produces the right amount of heat consistently all the time. And you look at all the other stars, and I don't know if science will tell you this, but the other stars, they give out light, and they kind of shimmer down, and they give more heat and less. They're not consistent. Yet our sun is consistent, consistent, consistent. You don't hardly see that. Like, see, God put everything like He did, you know. And you think about your very life. Think about your body. You know, this is what the Bible says in Psalm 139:14. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Do you realize how much has to go right just for you to be able to see? Just for your eyes to work. How complicated and amazing. How unimaginable things have to go right just for you to be able to see correctly. How much of your brain has to work right for you to see? Half your brain has to work. All that goes on in your eyes. So much has to go on just for your body to work, for you to live. And people are going to say it's chance. It's unbelievable. You see, it's unbelievable. Go back to Psalm 19 and verse 1. Look what Psalm 19 verse 1 says. Psalm 19 is an amazing psalm. One of my favorite psalms. Listen to what Psalm 19 says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language which their voice is not heard. See, God's word is telling us here that the creation, the heavens, declare the glory of God. And what it's saying is it doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what tongue you have, whether you speak Greek or Hebrew or Spanish. You can understand the creation. It's speaking to you. And it tells you there's a God. It clearly tells you that there's a creator. Their line goeth out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set the tabernacle for them. You know, the Bible is telling you that His creation clearly tells us that there's a creator. It shows you that there's a creator. Psalm 97 verse 6. The Bible says this. Psalm 97 verse 6. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. You know, again, the creation shows us. When I go over here to Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, Paul and Barnabas, they're preaching. And this is what they say, Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without a witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And He's talking about the fact that He left a witness. The world, the universe is a witness. This earth is a witness. It speaks to all the creation. Now, when I go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, I want to show you something in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Now, there's people out there that say, well, I'm an atheist. I just don't accept that there's a God. I don't believe it. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You can say you don't believe it, but I don't believe you. And that's what I say. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because the Bible says this. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that he's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What has God given to every man? He's given every man a measure of faith. Just a little bit. Everybody. What is faith? Faith is defined for us in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means you believe in something you can't see. God's given everybody just a little faith. Can you see God? Can't see Him. But you know He's there. You know He's there. Even the atheist knows there's a God. Even the atheist knows it. Francis Crick is the man that helped discover DNA back in the 50s. This is what he told his biologists. This is what he wrote. Biologists must consistently keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. See, he says, when the biologists are looking through the microscope and they're studying, you've got to keep telling yourself, this is not design, it's evolution. Because everything tells you it's design. Everything tells you there's a God that made this, but you've got to keep telling yourself it's evolution.
DNA is too complex to be random.
Yeah. See, it's everything in you tells you there's a maker, a designer, a creator. Whether you know Him or you want to accept Him or believe in Him is one thing. But everything tells you He's there. And there's someone that made this. And that's the witness. Now, the atheist is going to say, I just refuse to accept it. Well, now I'm going to take you over here to Romans chapter 2. And I'm going to tell you what it says in Romans chapter 2. And again, we're going to go back to what it says in verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law within themselves. This is saying that God has put His law in everyone's hearts. People know what's right and people know what's wrong. For which to show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, and meanwhile accusing and excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. On the judgment day, your conscience will judge against you. God has given everybody a conscience. Remember, we talked about this last week. You have a conscience, and your conscience, He's your friend, but He's also your enemy in a sense. He's not going to cover for you on the judgment day. If you're not saved, your conscience is going to be your He's going to testify against you. And you can lie and you can deceive all you want, but on the judgment day, your conscience is going to testify against you. And no matter what you say, your conscience will say, nope, that's not true. I was there, and that's what He did. And you can say, well, I don't believe in God. And your conscience will say, yes, you did. You knew there was a God. You saw it and you believed it. You denied it and you didn't want to believe in God because you wanted to live how you wanted to live. And you didn't want to think about judgment and you wanted to live in your sin. But you knew there was a God. Your conscience will testify. You know why? Because God's given a measure of faith to every man. That's why I just don't believe in true atheists. I think everyone knows. Deep down inside, though you may suppress it and suppress it and suppress it, there is a creator, a designer. Now, I tell you what's going to happen. This sounds crazy, but now they're going to start giving credit to aliens. You wait and see. They're going to start saying, well, the aliens came and they designed it. But God created it. He made it. And that's what the Bible is showing. That in Revelation 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And again, I want to mention, God didn't make this hard to see. He didn't make it difficult. He said His creation is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So when you stand out there in the vast expanse of the universe and you look out there and people always say, I feel so tiny, I feel so insignificant, you are comparing yourself to the power of God and you do feel pretty insignificant. You realize how powerful and almighty He is. God is all powerful. And the thing is, the Bible says you are without excuse. That no man is going to be able to stand before God on Judgment Day with an excuse. All people are without excuse. And the reason is because people reject the light. God gives people light and truth, and they reject it because they don't want it. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. See, everyone in this room, God's given you light. He's given you truth. And you have to decide what you're going to do with it. Do you want more light? Or do you reject the truth? Do you reject the light? Okay. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Talking about Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he hath made of the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God on high. Talking about Jesus. He made all things. But God has spoken to us by his Son. And we've got to decide what we're going to do it. Again, Romans 10:17 says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm almost done this morning. I'm almost done. I want to finish up by a story. Here's a little story in the Bible. About a Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8:29 says, the Spirit said to Philip, go near, join thyself to his chariot. There's an Ethiopian eunuch that was reading some scriptures out of the Bible. He didn't understand what he was reading. And so Philip was going along, and the Spirit of God told him, go talk to this man. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand what thou readest. And he said, how can I except some man guide me, should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And in humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? From his life, is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, he came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both to the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away rejoicing. The eunuch was lost. He was on his way to hell, but he was reading the Bible. He needed to be saved. So what did God do? God, in his mercy, sent Philip to him. Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch said, no. So Philip explained it to him. The eunuch believed. The eunuch got saved. And he put all his faith in Christ, and all of his sins were forgiven. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He got baptized. And at the end of the story, he went away rejoicing. So what happened was that eunuch got saved. And the reason that eunuch got saved was because God sent Philip to him to give him light. Now, do you understand? That was a supernatural conversion. Did you see that? God did something there. Spectacular. He got saved because of God's mercy. Every time somebody gets saved, it's the exact same thing. God reached down from heaven and showed mercy to somebody's soul. It's always the same. God did something special. He wanted light, and God gave him light, and he got saved. There are no lucky people that get saved. No one's lucky, or there's no chance salvations. Everybody gets saved because God is so incredibly merciful to you and showed you great mercy in your life. God reached down from heaven, and he spared you in his mercy. Everyone's salvation is the same. If you're saved today, it's because God did the same thing for you. Every Christian person ought to always have joy and rejoicing and be thankful in the heart that God did the same thing for you. You see, that's how good God is. That is the special revelation of God, how God reached down and saved you and pulled you out of the pit that you were in. By the way, you could have been born in India. You could have been born in China. You could have been born anywhere where they don't preach the gospel. But you were born in a place where you were able to go to church and hear the truth. God was so incredibly merciful to you. And that's the condemnation of this world, that God has given His light out. He's given His mercy and His truth. And what do men do with that truth? They reject it. And they reject it. That's the condemnation. Because in verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, as God gives light and He gives you chances to get saved and chances to get saved, and you keep rejecting it and keep rejecting it, what does God do to your heart? It gets darker and darker and darker. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you want to learn about evolution, and you really want to learn about it, where do you have to go? Well, if you really want to learn about evolution, you have to go to the higher places of education, right? You got to go to colleges where all the wise people are and all the intelligent people are. They got doctor's degrees and multiple doctor's degrees. Now, I'm not mocking education, but all these people that are so intelligent, and God, what's God call people that are so smart in their own eyes, but they won't even recognize He exists? Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You got everything else in your life, and you can't even get that. You can't see the most easiest, clearest thing, that there's a Creator. Acts 17:24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He need anything, seeing He giveth life and breath and all things. People make excuses. I want to finish by saying this. People make excuses. But what's your excuse today? Are you right with God today? And have you made peace with God? Have you given your heart and your life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You know, if you're not saved today, and if you're not right with God, I want you to know something. You're not here by chance. And you're not here because of your lucky, or you're not here because of any other reason other than this. God brought you here for a purpose, to hear the truth. And if you're not saved today, God wants you to be saved today. And He brought you here so you could hear the truth and you could give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. You need the Savior. You need to have your sins forgiven. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Are you hungry today? And are you thirsty? Is your soul hungry and thirsty? But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all that he will give me I should lose nothing, but should raise him up the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him at the last day. Verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Is the Lord drawing you today? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be forgiven? Is the Lord dealing with your soul right now? And if you need the Lord, I invite you to come. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's stand together.